This is the MLW Radio Network.
Hello and welcome to a new episode of the Eastern Lariat Podcast, your show for news notes, reviews and opinions on the world of Japanese pro wrestling here on the MLW Radio Network. I am your host, Striga, and as usual, I am joined by Dylan. And Dylan, we originally wanted to do this past Sunday, and first of all, I want to thank you very much that you adjusted so well and are basically here when I asked you to do the show a couple of days later. So how are things going for you?
Striga, things are totally peaches and cream right now. I'm feeling like the bee's knees in the cat's pajamas, and I'm so happy to be back on this show. Despite our extended absence and everything that goes along with that, I'm so ready to talk about Japanese pro wrestling, and I can't wait to go over everything we have. We have so many topics to talk about. It seems like every promotion is going to get covered on today's show. So this is going to be one of my favorite episodes.
That's true. So for the majority of our topics, we can't go into the topics too deep this week because there are so many of them. We're going to go rapid fire on some bullet points. We're going to go deep on some points that we think are important, but overall we're going to try to cover the entire scene here in Japan. But first of all, Dylan, let me say I am so glad this month of November is over. Even though it's the month that I was born in, it is usually, I don't know how you, I think you have Thanksgiving in the U.S. in November, right?
Yep. Yeah, we just had that last Thursday.
Yeah. We don't celebrate Thanksgiving. So happy belated Thanksgiving to everybody celebrating it. In Germany, the month of November is a pretty bad one because the weather is awful. Usually, it's somewhere in the middle of fall and winter, so it's a mix of a cold weather, rainy weather, and just the sun isn't out very much. And you know that always leads to people who are suffering from depression or are in an unstable mental state. That usually or sometimes leads them to. That leads to their condition worsening, you know. And that happened a lot for people around me last week, so I'm very glad this month is over. And to you, the listener, if you know anyone that's suffering from depressions, just shoot them a message from time to time, just asking them how they are doing, and that usually helps a lot when you just listen to people.
Yeah, you know, sometimes it's the littlest thing that can turn things around for people. Just getting someone you know who cares there to back you up can make things a lot better.
Yeah.
And I definitely can relate to all that in many ways, Striga. And I guess I can feel where you're coming from. Hopefully this next month with December, you got Christmas time.
Right.
And all the other holidays coming up that hopefully we can get through. Christmas time, for me, Three Kings Day, too. That's in January, technically, also the month of my birthday. But lots of good holidays coming up. So hopefully that can bring some positive vibes to everybody. And, you know, you should be happy in the holidays and everything like that. So I'm really looking forward to that. The month's changing, the year's ending. I think there could be nothing but good that could come through this next month. I'm really hopeful that things can really rock out for the end of the year.
Yeah, so let's change gears here and get to some brighter notes, because last week I had an update on Katsuyori Shibata. Shibata's birthday was on November 17. That's a great day, by the way, to have a birthday on.
Oh, yeah.
He was very grateful for all the birthday messages he received. And by the way, I was very happy for all the birthday messages as well. So thank you for that. So Shibata recently started to see more people. He was he could be seen on one of Tanahashi's photos on social media, for example. His goal right now, he's not continuing his therapy right now, which I talked about in the last update I had about him. But his goal right now, and I was told that this is probably the most important part for him right now, to improve his condition, he's now trying to see more people. And in doing so, he's going to have an autograph session at the World Tag League Finals for New Japan. And I think that's going to be the most people he will have interacted with since his injury, since the incident happened to him. Of course, he was at the G1 Climax Finals, but I don't think that he really interacted with a lot of people there. I think he was backstage, went to the ring, and that's it. And here he's going to have an autograph session at the World Tag League Finals, where a couple of hundred, if not 1,000 people come up to him, probably. I don't know how this is going to be set up. I'm not sure. But even if it's only a dozen of people, that could be an improvement for him, that he sees that he's able to interact normally with people again.
Yeah. And just when you think about how serious his condition was when this all started, you know, if you remember back when he originally suffered this condition and the surgery he had to go through, we were really worried that he wouldn't even, you know, he would lose his life, yeah. Let alone that's how serious it was. So to see him out, getting out and about, is something that I think is really going to be good for him, especially someone as a public persona that's used to being in front of all these crowds and probably interacting with a lot of people backstage at the New Japan shows. I think there's no way this is anything but a good thing that he's going to be here at the World Tag League Finals. I think it's going to be good for really everyone involved. I think it's going to be good for the fans to see him too, that may have been worried about him, that may not know about his updates and follow along online as much. So I'm really happy to see that. You know, I'm really happy to see that for Shibata. He's come a long way, and I think that's the most important thing through all of this.
Certainly is, yes. So I just mentioned that Shibata is coming to the World Tag League, and with that, Dylan, let's focus our attention to the New Japan World Tag League. Basically, most shows that I've, or most matches from the shows I've watched from the so-called smaller shows, even though they sometimes draw comparable numbers to Kurkenhold shows, most of those matches are pretty average tag matches. Nothing special, nothing too fancy. The matches aren't bad. It's just solid tag wrestling. Sometimes you get some cool action there. And, you know, I was especially looking forward to Killer Elite Squad versus Elgin and Cobb. But to me, the match didn't really play out as I figured it would, because I felt that those two teams didn't really click that well.
Mm. And Cobb is still getting used to his style in New Japan, coming from an indie background, so that can play a part in it. For me, to really kind of add on to your point about the matches themselves, Striga, I made a list out of all of my recommended matches on this tour. I've watched the first 9 nights. I've watched all of the tag league matches from the first 9 nights. And I made a list of all my recommended matches. I think comparatively, a lot of people use star ratings. I would say like 3.5 stars or better would be kind of my breakthrough here. Yep. And let me read you my list of the matches that I recommend. That's the list. this is an empty list. There are no matches at 3.5 stars or better on this tour. The first time.
I think the best one so far was the main event from the first show. It was Death Juice versus Evil and Sanada.
That was an okay match. I remember that show was on for free on YouTube.
Yeah, yeah.
I actually had every match rated the same, and they were all like kind of average to me. So
you know, actually the second Kurkenhall show they did on November 30, The two main event matches, Best Friends versus... who did they face? Best Friends versus Elgin and Corp. Was a fun match. Fun US-style tag match. Main event was Killer Elite Squad versus War Machine. Was a big hoss match. That was cool, too. Yeah. Especially with Archer and Raymond Rowe getting into it. I'm really not sure what Davey Boy Smith Jr.'s deal is these days. Because... He's wearing these long jeans. He's wearing these glasses. He looks like a total badass brawler, you know. Mm-hmm. And then he tries to. I'm not sure how to. If I can, I'm not sure if I can point the finger onto it. I'm just. I just don't know if he. Is searching for the right style, both in his ring outfit and in his wrestling right now. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. I like to call it he's representing the land of Calgary with his attire right now. I think his wrestling style. He's trying to be technical as well, so he's Calgary technical. Let's call it that. I think is what he's going for.
Okay.
But yeah, that match, you know, it could have been better. I agree that War Machine's and Best Friends match, that might have been the best match. I kind of enjoyed the match from Night 5 with Goto and Yoshihashi versus Sammy and Juice, Death Juice, if you want to call them that. And a good look at why I like Goto and Yoshihashi is they're like the only native wrestlers that I think actually have paired.
Oh my god, they are so great. They are so awesome. They have actually... A lot of teams in this World Tag League actually have started to use a double team finisher. Zanada and Evil, most notably, have started to use the Magic Killer that Carl Anderson and Giant Bernard used as a tag team move. Or even later, Doc Gallows and Carl Anderson used. And Juice and Callihan are using a combination. Pulp Friction, where Callihan first does a shoulder breaker and that leads into Juice doing the Pulp Friction. And Yoshihashi and Goto actually have started to use a combination or a variation, rather, of the GTR that Goto used. It's now called the GYR, the Goto-Yoshi Revolution.
I was just about to mention that they have the new tag team finishers. A lot of teams, like you said, the Magic Killer. When Evil and Naito team, they did the old No Limit finisher, the kind of gorilla press into a slam. And so it's good that they gave Sonata and Evil something different. But yeah, I think Goto and Yoshihashi, they've had effort in their matches, which I don't think a lot of the natives have, to be honest. A lot of these matches come across as dry, without drama, really. And the Best Friends, I think the same could be said. They've given a lot of effort as well. So if I were to recommend anything from these first 9 or 10 nights, it would probably be their matches. But even then, this whole tournament feels like an incredibly flat one for a lot of people involved. And if you skipped it, I don't think... If the listeners skipped it, I don't think you would be missing a whole lot. It's just kind of a wait-and-see game to find out who the winner is, so we can slot the last few Wrestle Kingdom matches out, I think is where a lot of the intrigue of this tournament is. But hopefully the final and the last couple of nights can lead to some good things. I think that from that end, I think Goto and Yoshihashi have shown a lot of effort. Best Friends have too. And Sammy and Juice as well. So that's, I think that's about the best you can say about it.
Exactly. Just some bullet points that I noted on the Kurikan Hall show from late November. I noted that Chase Owens is great in the role he's playing. He has a fantastic-looking package pile driver. It looks especially good when he's doing it on Tomoyuki Oka.
Yeah.
So Owens is—he really has a great year as just the sidekick of Kenny Omega and the sidekick of Bad Luck Fale. So in this sidekick role, he's just great. Then I noted in the match, Tama Tonga and Tangaloa versus David Finlay and Katsuya Kitamura, there was these chops that just didn't work against Kitamura because he has a chest made of stone right now.
Yeah.
And I noted that there was some some very smart storytelling, because the chops didn't do any harm to Kitamura's chest, but the kokeshi that Tama Tonga did while Honma was on commentary, that hurt Kitamura, so the Tongan headbutts still in full effect in 2017.
Awesome. Great. Doing tribute to Haku.
So the later on, the sequences with Henare and Ishii were really good. Fiery sequences with Henare. He has made a good return here in the World Tag League from his injury. We already talked about Goto and Yoshihashi. I really, really like the team of Hiroshi Tanahashi and Hirai Kawato. I noted on Twitter that I hope that Kawato gets two paydays, one for his wrestling and one for being the roadie of Tanahashi, because he's the one always traveling with the air guitar, obviously.
Of course.
And we had a very short match between Chaos and Los Ingobernables de Japón, in which Okada established a new submission move. And it actually is Shinjiro Otani's former finishing hold, the Daio Cobra Hold. Daio also translates to King, so the King Cobra Hold. Much better than the Red Ink. Please don't use the Red Ink ever again.
The Red Ink was very bad.
Yeah.
He doesn't do this move as good as Otani did, either, to be fair.
Well, it was the first time he did it on a show, so let's just give him the benefit of the doubt, because, for example, Hirai Kawato, he started using the Dreamcast, was how Prince David called this spinning Enzugiri kick. The first time Kawato did it, it didn't really look good. Second time he used it, looked much better, so let Okada try to figure out how it works, and he'll make it work.
Sure, sure. And it also reminded me of when Rodney Mack did that move in WWE as the Blackout.
Fuck.
That's what I thought. That's what I thought of when he did that. Not necessarily Okada.
Yeah. Yeah. Man. All right. Great finish for our talk about New Japan right here, because that's all the bullet points I have actually on the World Tag League. It's continuing. It's going all the way through December 11 in Fukuoka with the finals. Block A, first place versus Block B, second place. So that's it. Right now, in All Japan Pro Wrestling, they have a tag league going on as well. We haven't seen much of this tag league yet. But I can tell you that as of now, the teams of Daichi Hashimoto and Hideyoshi Kimitani, as well as Naoya Nomura and Yuma Aoyagi, are leading the scoring board. Pretty interesting to see how that develops. I still think that Zuwama and Shuji Ishikawa should probably win this.
Well, being that it is the real World Tag League,
exactly.
I really think you need to have a strong winner, and I think that your suggestion of Zuwama and Ishikawa is perfect. I think that's what we both predicted, and I think what makes the most sense. I will say one thing: if you look at the standings, take a look at the big guns in the standings.
Yes, but let me check. I think they only had one or two matches so far.
Oh, okay.
So they are
still hope.
Yeah, there's still hope. Zeus and the Bodyguard. Yeah, they had one. Yeah, they had one match so far, and they won.
Undefeated.
Yeah. So all of their matches are coming up in early December. So
yeah. Listen, go big guns.
Still hope. Yeah.
Go big guns. That's all I have to say. But Suwama and Ishikawa, I think that's great. They're pushing Okami well in this tag league. I noted.
Yeah.
It's hard to say. Well, it's hard to say at this point where we haven't really got to see anything and things are mismatched. But hopefully things work out well, and we could see some of these shows if they produce strong results. And I'm looking forward to seeing how things play out, because they don't have a thing that got asked to me on Twitter, Striga, just to backtrack a little bit to the New Japan, the fake World Tag League. it's not the real one.
The imposter World Tag League.
Yes, exactly. Someone was asking me how to make it better, because this year's came across a little flat. And I was thinking, because you thought it was supposed to be, you thought it was supposed to be that taking out the big guys to have predictable teams would make it better. But it hasn't really played out that way so far. It just seems kind of meaningless in a lot of ways. But I think it really comes down to more the how they treat the tag division than anything.
Yes.
My idea was to, check this out, Stricka. My idea was to swap the tag league on the schedule with the New Japan Cup and put the big guys back in, because then the big guys could be in and actually would have something to fight for, instead of like being right before the Wrestle Kingdom. And the New Japan Cup winner being first in line for the new beginning makes more sense to me than Sakura Genesis. So I think that would increase things all around. I think the placement of the World Tag League is a bit of a problem for it to seem relevant, because I think everyone's just looking forward to Wrestle Kingdom more than anything.
Yeah, I actually think that's a pretty good idea. Because as you mentioned, you can, the problem of the World Tag League is, one, is A, the scheduling in late December, and B, it's the overall treatment of tag team wrestling in New Japan.
Yeah.
That's just a problem. And you can add the best tag teams in the world to this World Tag League. And I think they added a lot of great tag teams. But the best tag team in the world can't undo all the damage they did to tag team wrestling.
Yeah, that's true. That's what I think it is. I think the talent is here, even without the big stars, quote-unquote. I think the talent is here for a great tournament, but it's just a lot of the periphery factors that just holds it back a little bit. And I think if you treated it better, hopefully that's something they can focus on in the next year. But I think the All Japan Tag League, the winner is very interesting. I could definitely see the All Japan Tag League winner not having to be right before their biggest show, and as well as the tag teams having a little bit more juice to them. I think it really helps out.
Yeah, it does. And I think that this time they didn't vacate the tag team titles as they usually do, did they?
Yeah, that's true. We haven't heard.
Because I think because just the World Tag Team title has suffered so much over the course of this year, being vacated two times already. So I think they didn't want to vacate it another time. I can see that. Some things I picked up from the World Tag League that were pretty baffling to me were that Kento Miyahara was pinned twice, back to back. First by Daichi Hashimoto, which was puzzling to me. And then the next day he was pinned by Manabu Soya, which is even more puzzling. Because even in his home promotion of Wrestle One, he isn't a big deal anymore.
Yeah, I know.
And the former Triple Crown champion, the supposed ace of your promotion, losing to two outsiders back-to-back, that is something that the founder of the promotion, Giant Baba, would have never, ever done. I think just imagine the booking meeting. Baba is there, and then there's a guy suggesting, hey, why don't we have Misawa lose to, let's say, Chono and Muto back-to-back? I think the person would have been immediately fired, if not worse.
Yeah, exactly, if not worse. But to me, at least those guys were main eventers. This would be like if Gato just decided one day, saying, hey, we're going to have if Noah and New Japan continued their relationship, they said, let's have Okada lose to Yone and Akitoshi Saito.
Yeah.
You know? Like, Gato would like, no, that's crazy. So, get out of here.
Yeah, so apparently there were some shenanigans. Daichi apparently poked Kento in the eye, and Black Tiger 7 gave him a low blow, which led to Soya winning, but still, Miyahara losing twice by pinfall, that is something that I didn't see coming, and I don't know if that's a good thing.
This company is just all over the place, booking-wise, and there's no question about that. I think this tag league continues that trend we've been seeing for a few months now of crazy booking.
Yeah, and you know, I watched the November 9 Kirkenhall show, which was headlined by Joe Doering versus Yoshitatsu, which in many ways was the worst Triple Crown match I've seen in a long, long time.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it's just, you can't really blame Yoshitatsu for that. It just felt that the match never got going. It was an 11-minute match, and they just... It seemed this 11-minute match was felt like they were going for a 25-minute match.
Yeah. It was really, you know, I guess...
Completely weird
keep...
pacing.
Yeah, totally. I think it was all off. That world title match. I watched that whole show too.
Yeah.
And that match reminded me, that title match reminded me of a sports reference I'm about to make here. But in the NFL last week, this team called the Buffalo Bills, they had a winning record fighting for the playoffs, and they decided to bench their starting quarterback to put in an untested rookie. And he threw 5 interceptions in one half. He had a horrible game. Like, it was just atrociously bad. It was the worst start in, like, 30 years. And while true that Yoshitatsu had a really bad match here, and it's been mostly bad for the last couple of months, at some point you do have to really wonder, why put him in these situations that he clearly can't deliver in? Why would you put him in this situation to begin with? And that's not on Yoshitatsu.
No.
That he can't handle this right now. And... it's on the booking, like I said before, and I don't understand what they're doing up and down the card, really. So it's hard for me to really speculate and say about the tag league when they just do a lot of crazy things recently, and I can't explain it. But I just know that match wasn't any good, and that whole show wasn't very good.
No. I was watching this show, and usually for All Japan Kuroken Hall shows, I'm pretty excited. I was excited for this one too. And as I was watching the show, I was kind of wondering, man, I'm sitting here, I'm sitting on my couch, and I'm checking my phone. The show is just not very good.
I know, and it's a shame. It's a shame. They had, you know, they still have a lot of talent, but it's just not, it just feels like something's really off all around the promotion. I think if I want to be a little positive, I really like the junior tag match again.
Yeah,
with Eiko Sato
it was good, but
yeah,
nothing. But
it's not like a match of the year.
No.
Yeah. It wasn't like anything super memorable. It was a good match, probably the best of the show. And like I said, you know, that match and the tag match that came after it was all right too. But definitely agree, it wasn't enough to save the show by any means. But I like the match. So that's my hint of positivity. I was happy Takeda and Maruyama got this push.
Yeah.
That's all I'll say about that.
And also my positive takeaway from All Japan these days is that Kai is getting a push. He beat Roji Sai in a singles match, and him and Tajiri got 2 big wins in the tag league. They beat Zuwama and Shichikawa, and they beat Tayokea and the champ, Joe Doering, so Kai should be in line for a triple crown shot next, which is great.
Only 2 minutes and 25 seconds that win over Doering and Kea.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. And I think the Zuwama and Ishikawa match was like 3 minutes long, so it took them 5 minutes to beat the 4 top guys.
Three
top guys. Kei is just in for the tag league.
Yeah, Kei is just in for the tag league. Why is Kai teaming with Tajiri in this tag league?
Why is Atsushi Aoki wearing a mask?
That's a great question. I think, is that a tribute to like El Samurai?
Yeah, something? I figured he almost looked like Stuka Jr. wearing the mask.
Stuka Jr.? That would be great. A tribute to Stuka Jr. That's even better. I don't know. Things are just... The inmates are running the asylum in all Japan right now, I guess. That's the only way I can explain things right now, because there really is no explanation for some of this.
There was a great tweet by Arnold Furious. I can't exactly quote, but I can tell what he said. He said, it often feels like Akiyama is doing the booking the night before in a bar.
I think you may be right, but it didn't always used to be this way. It didn't always used to be this way. That's what I don't understand.
That is how WXW used to be run in the first 4 to 5 years, and that's a shoot.
Let's just put, let's give Cesaro and Aries the title shots, or Claudio and Aries give him the titles. Put Bryan Danielson in this young, who's this guy, Zach Sorber? No, Zack Sabre. Put him in there. That sounds good. That's probably how things happened in WXW in those days.
Yes, it actually was.
Thank you for that inside info. What other show will you get that kind of info? Inside info.
I'm not sure. Yeah, so All Japan, they are still, business is still good, but they have to get back on track here because there's stuff happening.
There's problems.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's problems. Considerably.
Another company that is suffering right now because Yuji Kobayashi is out and there are problems with Daisuke Sekimoto. He had to take some time off earlier this year. And of course, he's not getting any younger. And to be quite honest, the build of Hideyoshi Kamitani last year failed.
Yeah.
They buried Ryuchi Kawakami. And I usually don't use this term very often, but come on. What happened in Sumo Hall? You know?
Well, listen. Kamitani challenging for the title is... Kawakami, you know, yeah, there really is no explanation for that. I can kind of see what they're going for with this Suzuki title reign. They're clearly making him the ultimate big boss of the promotion, but the other challengers right now need some serious work.
None of those challengers that Hideki Suzuki had felt like a threat. And that is a huge problem if you're promoting a title match.
Yeah.
Let's just take the November 1st Kirkenhall show. Drew 705 fans. Semi-main for the Big Japan strong heavyweight title ended in about 18 minutes when the ref stopped the match when Hideki Suzuki had Kamitani in a front neck lock. That's some young lion finishing stuff.
You know, I bought BJW Core like a very stupid person.
Yeah.
But I sacrificed myself for the listeners to tell you not to buy it. And unlike you, Stringer, but I went on here and I watched this match. I was looking forward to it. I always loved Suzuki. I was hoping he'd have a great match. And I liked him. I liked Suzuki a lot. I thought he did a great job in his role. The problem is what you're saying. These guys come across like not even close to title ready.
Exactly.
In a lot of ways.
It's you know? like there is Sekimoto, there is Okabayashi, and now there is Hideki Suzuki too because he beat those two guys.
Mm-hmm.
And then, for a long, long time, there is nothing. Yep. And then there is Daichi Hashimoto, and they are probably promoting him to be the next strong world champion by beating Hideki Suzuki at Death Vegas, I think.
Yeah, I think so too.
And we'll have to wait and see how that affects business, because, truth be told, I like Hideki Suzuki a lot, but his title reign is not successful at all. Business-wise. And challenger-wise.
Yeah, like I said, when he first started this reign against Sekimoto and Okabayashi, they had a show where they beat New Japan at Korakuen Hall, I believe in March. This was very successful, and very successful in-ring as well, because those were some of the best matches of the year. However, when you go to these lackluster people that he's faced over and over and over again, that just really... they're not doing anyone any favors, because this is the second time Kamitani is challenging. Kamitani, when I watch him, he's not very good. Like, I don't mean to be mean, but he's really not a good wrestler right now, in my opinion. When I watch him in this match, when I watch him in the tag team, he's just very bland and one note. And Daichi, to me, has his... he's definitely better than Kamitani, but he wrestled Suzuki too in August, and they're going right back to it.
Yeah.
So these challengers... you know, how can you really get excited about any of these matches when you have someone like Kamitani who, his push, He totally fell off the earth as the champion and has never regained what he lost back. Daichi, he's okay, but he's never really been a champion or gotten any really big wins of late. And I think that they would be better off by building someone. I hope that they don't go to Daichi, because to me, Uto, if they focus on Uto for 6 months, because I think that's the only guy they have left that they haven't ruined, or is it boring, like Daichi and Kamitani. I think if they focus for 6 months on someone and Uto's their only guy that they haven't had a challenge against Suzuki, he's the only one that Suzuki hasn't wrestled yet for the title.
But they haven't done anything with Uto, and if they...
I know. They need 6 months. But
who's going to challenge in those 6 months until he's ready?
That's true. That's completely true. They may not have those 6 months to spare, but Daichi, to me, I just don't know. I don't see him as the answer. But I do think any change will be good short-term, because, like I said, Hideki's became so strong and their challengers are so weak that in a perfect world, I think that this would be super great, but it just hasn't... It's not been what it could have been, you know?
Yeah.
There's just no really way to say it other than that.
To end this about Big Japan in a positive note as well, apparently the Ueno Park shows from November were very, very fun. We had Stan Kobayashi. We had all kinds of legends turning up for that. We had Andre the Giant Panda turning up for that too, I think. And the junior title match from Kuroken Hall show from Kuroken Hall early November was very good. Shinobu against Yuya Aoki. Mm-hmm. And they presented the entire junior division as pretty on one level. Much better than the strong division, actually. So the junior division in Big Japan took off, had a good start.
Yeah.
Over to Dramatic Dream Team. They all also had a Kuroken Hall show on November 23rd. I don't know if you saw the show, Dylan, but I thought that this show was one of the best, if not the best, Kuroken Hall show DDT put on this year, because you had a very, very strong no DQ match between Daisuke Sasaki and Soma Takao. You had a very cool high-flying based match between Mike Bailey and Tetsuya Endo, where they had a very good match, but they also left a lot of stuff on the table for them to return for a later singles program between the two. So that was pretty good. And in the main event, the KOD tag team title match, Harashima and Naomi Chimaro Fuji, still the champions, beat Konosuke Takeshita and Akito, also a very good match. So I like this show very much.
Yeah, I watched the show too, and I liked the three matches you mentioned. I definitely liked the tag match with Akito and Takeshita taking on Mara Fuji and Harashima. That was my favorite match on the show. I really like Takeshita. I know a lot of DDT fans think he's boring and stuff, but I think he's a really great wrestler. And he's someone that I really enjoy watching when I watch these DDT shows. And sometimes the comedy is just not appealing to me in a lot of ways, and I need someone like Takeshita on these shows. Sasaki looked a lot better in this match against Takao than he did in the TLC match the previous month, or a couple months ago, whenever that was. But I know he looked bad in there. But this one, he looked better, and they had a good match with Takao. Really liked the match with Endo and Bailey. I thought that for a high-flying match, they did exactly what you wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And they announced the Grand Prix tournament, too, on this show.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing to dislike about it, really. The comedy and stuff, I like Hirata. But the three main matches delivered. So I think that's exactly what you want out of a DDT show. And I really like the team of Harashima and Mara Fuji as the tag team champions. I hope they continue on this reign, because they're good.
Yeah, they are going to have this tournament in January. But first, they are going to have Konosuke Takeshita defending the KOD title against Colt Cabana.
Great.
Yeah. I just wanted to hear your reaction on that.
Great. At least it's not Joey Ryan. I can't complain about Colt compared to Joey.
Talking about Joey Ryan, Dylan, he, of course, is in this D-King Grand Prix. That's starting in January. They have two blocks. Block A is Konosuke Takeshita, Harashima, Jiro Ikemen Kurushio of Wrestle One, Tetsuya Endo, Keisuke Ishii, Joey Ryan, and Masahiro Takanashi. Block B is Daisuke Sasaki, Yukio Sakaguchi, Soba Takao, Akito, Kazusada Higuchi, Mike Bailey, and the big dog himself, Shuji Ishikawa.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a pretty nice tournament.
Yeah, I really like Block Ace, especially with all the people. Like, I think Jiro is very much a fit in DDT, and Takeshita and Harashima are two of my favorite in-ring performers besides Ishikawa. And in B Block, you have Ishikawa and Higuchi on the side.
Oh yeah,
which are two great matchups. I like that each side has their style a little bit. I think Block B has the more complete block without Joey Ryan in it, so that's good on that end. And I really like everybody in Block B, to be honest with you. I think this really could be a great tournament for fans of DDT, and I think this is a great event to hold, because even if you're not a fan of DDT, I think you can order it for, you know, you can order DDT Universe for a month and, you know, just check out this tournament and have a lot of fun watching it. And I will say one thing, too, about Ishikawa. I mentioned to you that I thought Ishikawa could wrestle in other promotions besides All Japan, and you scoffed at me.
No. I know I was taking into consideration that, of course, he was going to do some dates for DDT because that's his home promotion. But
you said All Japan was his home promotion.
No. Listen, that's,
you literally said that.
Yes, it's his home promotion now, but DDT is the promotion he started in. So that's the thing.
That's why I questioned him winning the tournament and the titles and being pushed as an ace, because he can always go to these other promotions.
Yes, he can. He can. But as I mentioned, I think he's making. Let's say he's making All Japan his base. Does it sound better?
Sure, like that's fine, but I can understand why they won't push him as high.
That's a problem a lot of freelancers face in Japanese wrestling.
Yep, true. Except for Hideki. Overall, though, this tournament, it looks great. I don't think I'd be surprised if there's a fan that looks at these blocks and says, "Wow, these suck," because I think there's something for everyone, and I think they're well rounded.
Yeah,
you know, I really do.
I think so too. So, Dylan, before we go and talk about Noah, let us toss it to Sean Mooney in the MLW Event Center.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the MLW Event Center. I'm Sean Mooney, and the countdown is on. MLW Never Say Never is almost here. See all the stars of Major League Wrestling December 7th in Orlando at Gilt Nightclub. John Morrison will debut as he teams with Shane Strickland against Darby Allin and Jimmy Havoc in a no DQ match. Two former UFC fighters throw down as Matt Riddle looks to avenge his friend Jeff Cobb as he battles filthy Tom Lawler. Plus Joey Ryan versus MJF, Sammy Guevara versus Jason Cade, MVP versus Brody King and Santana Garrett versus Laurel Van Ness, and so much more. And once again, Tony Schiavone will be in the house calling all the action. Get your tickets right now at MLWtickets.com. Meanwhile, over on the MLW Radio Network, Marty and Sarah Love Wrestling is back with behind-the-scenes action at AAW, as well as Sarah's Old School Wrestling Corner. What buddies are on this week? You'll have to come by to find out. This week on the J.J. Dillon Show, J.J. and Rich wrap up their look at the Andersons and then dive into the origins of Kamala, the Ugandan giant, and J.J.'s role in helping make the big man a star in the Memphis territory. What happened when? Jim Crockett presented his last Starrcade. Find out as Tony Schiavone and Conrad Thompson look at the 1987 edition of Starrcade, out now. This week on Lucha Talk, Dillon, Alfredo, and Raul look at Angelica's AAA departure, CMLL running the same tournament twice in 6 months, and so much more. Be sure to tune in to Primetime with Sean Mooney. This week, a WWE legend tugboat, Fred Ottman, hits the podcast like a typhoon with his take on how he became a very large presence in the WWF. Don't you dare miss it. Fans, arguably the most critically acclaimed and commercially successful wrestling book in years, Jim Ross's autobiography, Slobber Knocker, is on sale now at Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com, and all major bookstore chains. The book has been atop bestseller categories for 2 months now. Slobber Knocker is not only a book about wrestling, but a lifetime story of perseverance. The book is a great holiday gift. Get your copies now. And remember, MLW's big show is Thursday, December 7th, with a stacked lineup. Don't miss out on this event. Get your tickets now at MLWtickets.com. And now it's time to get back to your favorite MLW radio podcast.
Thank you for the update on the world of MLW, Sean. And we are back here with a topic that is very dear to our hearts, especially to you, Dylan, but to me as well. I am back on the bandwagon here because Noah the Reborn is reborn.
Oh, yeah. I love their recent show, and I love what they're doing. I told you, Striga. I told you Noah would win you back. I told you Noah could win all the fans back.
Yeah.
Not all the fans, but they've done a lot of really good stuff this year, and I think there's a lot to talk about in terms of them and what they've done. But especially on their recent show in the Global League Finals, a lot of it, much like the Tag League for All Japan, we haven't got to see a huge amount of it, like other tournaments like the G1 or even the Champions Carnival, maybe, in All Japan. But we got to see the final show. And what did you think of the show? What brought you back on the bandwagon, Striga?
First of all, it was the opening day of the Global League, a show that we talked about a couple of weeks ago that you saw, and I hadn't seen up until that point. And the show had the 30-minute time limit draw between Katsuhiko Nakajima and Kenno, which was a certified shoot fight. Those two kicked themselves so hard, or kicked each other so hard, better to say. I immediately put it into the Cage Match match guide, and right now it has 10 votes, 9 10.0 votes, and 1 9.0 vote.
Wow.
So check out this match. It was a hoot, as Dylan would say.
I think I exactly said that when we talked about that.
I think so. You probably did. And you know
it's a bona fide hoot.
Bona fide. You know what was a hoot too? It was Kenno and Masato Tanaka in their match from Osaka on November 11. It wasn't as good as Kenno versus Nakajima, but they still went out and had a big striking battle, Tanaka and Kenno. So check that match out as well. And if you have the chance to watch any Maybach Taniguchi matches from the Global League, don't do it.
Nah.
Because I have no idea what they are doing with this guy now. Apparently they are pushing him for the tag titles again. I don't know. He won one of his first matches in the Global League, and then he didn't gain another point because all of his matches ended in a double countout.
Yeah.
And I think they've done the same finish with Maybach and Goshi Ozaki 5 times or 4 times this year.
The feud continues.
I'm actually checking that out while I'm talking. So the show from Osaka, I noted that Quiet Storm and Nakajima had a pretty good match. Quiet Storm is really pretty good here. He's having a good year.
Yeah, totally. Him and Yone both, they go well as a tag team. They've definitely improved from where they used to be. And Storm did a good job in his match with Nakajima.
Yep, they totally did. And so, some good singles matches here. But then all roads led us to Kirkenhall on November 19. And the people were ready for the coronation of the Fist King.
Yes, the Fist King himself. Now, this show here, I think the whole show was good. Like you mentioned on that Osaka show, I just wanted to shout out the tag match with Marufuji and Sugiura versus Sekimoto and Nomura that took place on the show, too. It was great that it really fueled this upcoming storyline they're telling with Sugiura and Marufuji against the younger generation. And I think that was a perfect setup to set up the winner of this tournament as we get to here. And first of all, you know that it was going to be a good show when we started out with Leona losing, as always, to Kumano, of all people, with the Argentine.
And how did he look when he was in the Argentine backbreaker?
Oh, Leona.
He was looking like a fish out of water.
Yeah, the best though. I love it. Leona looked like Leona in the Argentine backbreaker there. And, you know, even they had some good matches on the other card. I really liked the Kotoge and Ishimori versus Hayata and Yohei tag match. We had Ishimori as the X Division champion in America.
Yeah.
The payback for Eddie Edwards getting the GHC title. Ishimori is now the X champion. I really love, too, every time I see Minoru Tanaka in Noah,
oh, man.
I like all his matches. He's really good.
You know, Minoru Tanaka.
Yeah.
I think he's 44 or 45 years old. And, well, he doesn't look like a 25-year-old anymore, but he still looks incredible. He's 45. He still looks incredible for 45 years. But the thing that is even more impressive is his wrestling. Because he wrestles like a 25-year-old.
Yep. I love him. He was one of my favorite guys. You know, he originally started at Battle Arts.
Yeah.
And when he came to New Japan, he really unlocked his full potential teaming with Kanemoto.
Even though they gave him this awful gimmick of heat.
That's when he lost all his potential. but before the heat gimmick, he was awesome. And even with the heat gimmick, he did the best he could. But
you said,
it was awful. Like, there's no real nice way to say it. But when you see him now, it's like he's still just as good as he was. You know, he still moves just as good as he did when he was heat. He still is a great wrestler in so many ways, and a true credit to this junior division and Noah. It's helping out a lot of people. I really enjoyed his match with Hiroki on there. You know, I think the junior division is doing great right now, even though
it was a nice little match with Hiroki. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think the junior division has a great aesthetic to it, even without Kotoge and Kino, who have moved up to heavyweight. And that really set up the meat of the show, too. After that Tanaka match, we saw the four-way with Masato Tanaka, Takashi Sugiura, Masakita Miya, and Katsuhiko Nakajima.
That was a very fun match, but I had to think about Microman Fever on the one of your shows lately, where you talked about the four-way. And no, you talked about a tag match, and Microman Fever thought it was a four-way match.
Yeah.
And you could have thought this was a tag match as well, because it basically was Tanaka and Sugiura working together against Nakajima and Kitamiya.
Yeah, I know. I think they just set up. I'm sure this will lead to a tag match between
yeah,
these
yeah,
four
yeah,
people.
It will. It sure will, because they are reforming the Dungan Yankees.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's a great thing. Because that team was amazing. In their run, Sugiura and Tanaka, that was an excellent team. Yeah, exactly. That team doesn't get enough props. It didn't get in their time. If you see them now, I think both of these guys are still just as good as they were 3 years ago. So I want
to
see
this
team.
We'll have to keep in wait for Sugiura. The medical condition he had wasn't something to joke about, so we'll have to wait.
He looked good in this match.
Yeah, he did. He did, yes.
I think he's a great wrestler. I think he's going to be just fine. And I'm happy that he's back, able to wrestle medically, as you know. That, like you said, that medical diagnosis was very serious.
Mm.
And it's great to see him well enough to get back in this ring. I was happy, too, that Kitamiya got a win on this, too. He pinned Sugiura, too. So I think that's awesome. And I think they're doing a lot of great things booking-wise, too. Sugiura and Nakajima are also a really talented tag team. So really good stuff there. Like you said, they pushed Maybach with the win here. That was your pick to win the Global League.
Yeah.
But they had other plans.
I was way off.
Well, listen, it happens sometimes, you can't predict.
In the meantime, I actually looked up the history of singles matches between Go Shiozaki and Maybach Taniguchi.
Yeah.
May 23rd, 2017, Go Shiozaki versus Maybach Taniguchi, double KO.
Oh.
July 27, 2017. Go Shiozaki versus Maybach Taniguchi. Double KO. August 6, 2017. Go Shiozaki actually beat Maybach Taniguchi. November 11, 2017, Goshi Ozaki versus Maybach Taniguchi. Double count out.
Listen, we talked about on our last episode over 2 weeks ago, we talked about Toyota and Yamada's feud. This is clearly the next generation of that, with all of these draws. Wow. I think they were paying attention, and that's what they want. This will lead to a hair versus hair match, eventually.
Oh, gosh.
I don't know. Now, I don't know what they're really thinking with Maybach, because like you, it seemed like he was set. He's actually been kind of improved this year.
Yeah, yeah.
He's definitely...
no idea.
But yeah, so I guess they don't see it with how they pushed him. But I like him. I think he's done a good job. I thought it would be Go or Kotoge that would win for taking the tag titles off of them last month. But I think they did a really great thing. Oh, but before that, too, we have to talk about the junior title match, because that was an excellent match.
Yeah, I thought so, too.
Yeah, with Harada and Tadasuke, and the boss versus the mom, as Yohei called them, of Ratels. And this was a great match. Harada got the win. I thought Tadasuke had a great showing here, and he's someone that is really appreciated. Daisuke Harada, so underrated as an overall wrestler. I think he's been one of the absolute best wrestlers in Japan in terms of purely in-ring this year, and it was great that they ended up showing respect. You always got to love that in the ring. And yeah, nobody came out to challenge him afterwards, too. Nope. So I thought that was interesting. I wonder where they're going with that. But I think they're doing great things in the junior division overall. And I think that's been a real strength of this company. Even when things were down in terms of Nakajima's title reign, the junior division has held strong throughout the entire year.
Yeah, Dylan, they had a show following up to this November 19 show. They had a show on November 24. And at that show, Minoru Tanaka challenged Daisuke Harada for that title.
That was what I had in mind, too, when I saw that. I was thinking that it may be Tanaka. So, awesome. That'll be a great match. They haven't done that yet, have they?
Yep. No, they haven't done it because Tanaka is only in since early October. Has had a pretty interesting feud with Hitoshi Kumano, who basically acted as the gatekeeper for Noah.
He said as much, that he was the gatekeeper.
Yep.
It is promo.
And so, now it's Harada against Tanaka. I want to say about Tadasuke, what I noted was that he's getting more and more recognized by the fans of Noah as a great talent. So that's great. He's added a lot of fans here, and they co-main evented Kurikan Hall, which is pretty good for those two guys. So Osaka Pro is going strong here.
The spirit of Osaka Pro lives in Noah, but how smart is it to put this guy that's new to the audience, has been away from Japan even for years, and you put him in this group with your popular guy, Harada, and two, you know, kind of dark horse, underrated, you know, indie guys in Yohei and Hayata. You give these guys, that's a popular group in the making, and you put this guy that could be a future star in the junior division to get him popularity, and now you're seeing it pay off, that he's been in this Ratels group. It was just a great idea to put him in there, and he fits like a glove with Harada, as well as the other two. I think Ratels is a great group, and they've done a great job in Noah of the junior title and this group specifically.
Yeah. It's so crazy sometimes, because Harada has been mainly working these small Osaka indie groups for a long time. Well, after the original Osaka Pro basically ended, he has been wrestling in Dotonbori Pro, which was the group that those guys who were fired from Osaka Pro founded in, I think, 2012 or 13. 2013 it was. When Kuga and others were fired from Osaka Pro, they founded Dotonbori Pro, and Tadasuke was working these small shows. He was working DAF Pro, sometimes Big Japan, sometimes shows like FMW, and then Noah picked him up. So that they needed talent. Tadasuke was there. He got a spot. It's great for him.
Yeah, he made the best of it.
Yes, exactly. And somebody who also made the best of his situation here is Kenno. Kenno. Mm-hmm. And Goshi Ozaki went out to have a awesome, awesome Global League final. Those two killed it out there, and they also killed each other.
Oh, man. this match was incredible. I thought it was a great match. To me, I thought there was a lot of drama, too, in it, in terms of who was going to win, because, as I mentioned, I predicted it would be Shiozaki would be one of the favorites going in, and I thought he would win because of how they've used him compared to Kenno this year. But they did a smart thing to go all the way with Kenno. They didn't hold back and say better luck next year or make it a part of his grander story. They just said, no, he's going to win this thing, and he won it. Like you said, the match, these two have awesome chemistry, too, I've noted. And if you look at Shiozaki's year, I made this point on Twitter earlier this week, that Shiozaki's so underrated in terms of in-ring talent. If you look at his year, he's had an amazing tag team work with and against Kotoge. He had that great Nakajima title defense in March. People were still a little down on Noah. I don't know if anyone's seen it, or a lot of people have seen it, but I'd really recommend checking out his match with Nakajima in March. And in this Global League, he has this match now with Kenno that is probably one of the best Noah matches of the year. Kenno, as someone, and his journey is incredible because a lot of their talent comes from Osaka Pro, but Kenno actually comes from Michinoku Pro, where he was the former ace for a long time.
Oh yeah,
and he was great as the as an ace. He was the babyface against Fujita Hayato in Michinoku Pro and did a great job. But in Noah, he's always been this heel character.
Yeah, well, he was a heel for some time in Michinoku Pro as well. When Hayato's group turned on him and joined Kenno, so
yeah, exactly,
yeah.
But he's most successful as the babyface ace, yeah, in Michinoku Pro, and they never really went. And in Noah, they've always had him as this heel, maybe with Ohara, and you know, with the kendo stick and everything. But now they have a chance to really put him over as the top of the company, the top guy in the company. And I think it'll be interesting to see how his title match goes. But in terms of this pure match, I thought Shiozaki specifically, he did an awesome job. Maybe not selling is the right word, because I'm sure a lot of these strikes legitimately hurt, honest with you.
They sound like they hurt.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But when there was a part where he sold and he fired up for his big lariat and he creamed Kenno with it. But Kenno kicked out in the end. He just nailed him with it. It was great. And when Kenno went crazy and chopped him in the back of the neck, which was awesome, Go went crazy with that. He had a great reaction to that. And I thought Kenno had a great counter. I think the only thing is, there was a spot in this match where he hit a top rope dragon suplex.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Go Shiozaki barely avoided landing on his neck.
There's no way. There's no way that you cannot barely land on your neck with this top row dragon suplex. It's going to be devastating if you do this move. You know, there's just no margin for error, pretty much. But they did it. Everything went okay. But my problem is they did that move and they were doing these crazy kicks and a lot of high impact moves, and then you just kind of end it with the double stomp. But I did like that they did it as a flurry, like back-to-back for the double stops for Kenno. I thought that was kind of an emphatic, they put oomph to it, his win to have the second one.
Yep.
But I would have loved it if the dragon suplex was the finish of the match. I think that was my only criticism of the match. But otherwise, I thought Go was brilliant, both in selling, even when he just had to sell being tired, like he was kind of out on his feet. There's a real art to that, and he did an amazing job in this match. And Kenno was awesome on offense, such a unique offensive style that he has. I'm really happy that they went with him. I was rooting for Kotoge, but Kenno is just as great of a champion and a great of a winner. And I think there's big things ahead. I think, Noah, you noted that you're back on the bandwagon. I think a lot of people, there's a lot of positive momentum for Noah. You look at that show they did in Yokohama that outdrew All Japan, which is great news for Noah. And that this show was their best show since June when Kotoge was main eventing. So they're in Kirken Hall. So I think that's great news for them. I think they've got a lot of momentum going into the next year. I hope Kenno wins the title. So that's all I can say about that.
Yeah, I think they need to keep this momentum going because Dylan, I can't add anything else to your analysis of the match. Mm-hmm. What I can add is the moment that Kenno won, Kirken Hall exploded.
Yes, it was a great reaction.
People were so into Kenno winning that for me, it became very clear that Kenno is the guy they have to go with. right now.
Oh, yeah. Yep, that's right. No waiting or any of that crap. Like, a star was born on here for Noah. I really think that's true, as cliche as it sounds. Like you said, the reaction was awesome. And if he gets this title, I think he can be someone that you look at as a true ace, because he looks like a star. He carries himself well, and I think it would be a really great thing. I think they've got to give him the title. I totally agree with you, to keep this momentum going.
Exactly. Yeah, you mentioned they are kind of on a roll, and I hope they are continuing that when they come back to Crookenhall. They have the winter navigation tour that started this week, and then that the podcast is out. They had they had a Crookenhall show this Sunday, but they are also going to have another Crookenhall show at the end of the year. Winter Navigation 2017 Kabuki the Final. So it turned out that Noah is actually the promotion that is going to host Great Kabuki's retirement match, which at first was completely out of the blue. But as I was alerted by the friend of the show, the Twitter user, what's his handle? At Metal0515, he told me that Pro Wrestling Noah and IWA Japan have the same sponsor, and Great Kabuki is a representative of IWA Japan, and so they basically made it happen that Noah got the retirement match of the Great Kabuki, which should boost their attendance very much. So they are having the Great Kabuki retirement memorial match at that show. They are having a match for the junior heavyweight tag team title. Hayata and Yohei are defending against the Ryukyu Dragon Pro tag team of Gurken Mask and Shuri Joe. That should be a fun match. The junior title match, as mentioned, Daisuke Harada against Minoru Tanaka. Tag team title, Mohamed Yone and Quiet Storm defending against Naomichi Marufuji and Maybach Taniguchi. And in the main event, so probably Eddie Edwards headlining Great Kabuki's retirement show. Awesome. Eddie defending against Kenno. It is already a very stacked card, and I'm looking forward to that card.
Yeah, totally. That should be a lot of fun. You know, this essentially Kabuki, he's basically been pretty much retired for a few years now.
Yeah, in between. He has had some matches here and there.
Yeah, like that match where he showed up at the Wrestle Kingdom in the pre-show and the Rumble.
Right, he retired in 1998. Didn't have any matches up until the early 2000s. Then he had some matches like two or three a year. And recently he had like five to ten matches in the last two or three years. So semi-retirement. Yeah,
exactly. Like, he's more or less retired anyway. This is more just a publicity stunt, to be honest, for Noah. And I have no problem with it. I have no problem with it. Use it to have publicity for the company. And I think it's great for them. And I hope Kenno gets that big win. I think the crowd will be fine, will be very good, in fact, for Noah. And I hope Kenno gets that big win and gets more popularity thanks to the Great Kabuki. How much of the Great Kabuki have you seen wrestle?
I actually haven't seen very much of his run after he became the Great Kabuki. I've basically only seen him in this role he is right now. I think I have to go back. There actually is a podcast on the MLW VIP, History in the Making, with Cord and with Matt Farmer. They talked about Gary Hart, and in one of those episodes they also go over how Gary Hart came up with the Great Kabuki character. And I think we can all agree that without the Great Kabuki character, this guy would have never been such a great star.
To be honest. But yeah, he's on, if you watch some of his world-class work, he came out with these nunchucks.
Exactly. Oh, I was actually gonna start to watch some world class at the beginning of next year. That's one of my projects I'm going to focus on next year.
Yeah, the innovator of the Green Mist for that, obviously famously used by the great Muta and many, many others since then. Kabuki was the first one. And I just think my favorite part of all this, Striga, and I'm about to give you props here, was finding out that Bailey follows you and shouted out Alexa Bliss about the break his retirement on your Twitter page. That was my favorite part of all this.
Yeah,
so congratulations on your part.
I was in the middle of WWE Women's Fan Twitter.
Yeah, I know. That's back-to-back months you've done this with Ember, and now Bayley and Alexa. Yeah. Bayley and Alexa, so good job.
Yes. I don't know.
I'm sure you enjoyed it.
I found out that Alexa Bliss is a big Kabuki fan.
Yeah, who would have guessed that?
She said it on the Chris Jericho podcast. Yeah, who exactly?
But that's awesome. I can't wait.
He's a great role model to study because he was an incredible character wrestler. So
yep, totally.
Yeah. So go listen to the History in the Making, the episode about Gary Hart. I think they did three of them. That's just awesome stuff there. And Dylan, as we were talking about retirements, there recently was a retirement in sumo wrestling. The Yokozuna by the name of Haruma Fuji had to retire because he admitted that he physically assaulted another sumo wrestler at a bar. And of course, if somebody talks about retirement or does retire, Atsushi Onita is not far away.
What? Where are you going with this?
And Atsushi Onita, actually, there was a Tokyo Sports article. Atsushi Onita said he feels sympathy for Haruma Fuji because, and here is the catch, Dylan, because unlike his retirement, a sumo retirement cannot be withdrawn.
Huh. Why would he say that?
I'm not sure.
This is unheard of. Have you ever heard of a wrestler retiring and then unretiring?
No.
That would never happen.
Never in my life have I heard such a disastrous thing to do.
Well, Striga, I'll have you know one thing.
Yeah.
There's one wrestler who kept his retirement packed, and you're talking to him right now. Because I represent honor for this sport that a lot of people have disgraced, like Onita.
Oh, well. You know, with MLW returning next year again, Dylan, you may have to rethink that.
Yeah, it's crazy how things happen. Never say never. you know, let's just say on that end. Hey, don't spoil my announcements before I get to them. But yeah, the only point is I'm a role model, much like Great Kabuki, when it comes to wrestling retirements, in my opinion. So hopefully, Onita learns something from me and
from you,
the sumo
of course.
Yes, from me. he learns from the sumo wrestler as well, because in sumo, as we know, there's great honor and you cannot unretire. Yeah. I actually used to watch sumo when I was younger. It used to come on after Raw for like 2 months.
Oh, really?
A 2 month period? Yeah, in America, it came on after Raw, and I watched the sumo. Now, me and my family did. So that was my only experience with sumo, really, unfortunately. And then they took it off, and I never saw it again.
Boo. Too bad for you. We wanted to go over another retirement, but this is actually, we can't do a review of this show, and I don't want to do a review of this show because that wouldn't do her justice. I want to say Manami Toyota's retirement show was a wonderful experience. She just had a ton of fun. And yeah. I don't know what your favorite part about the retirement show was.
It had to be Bull Nakano.
Yes, Bull Nakano and Carlos Amano coming out was great. But Dylan, my favorite part was when Gabai Jishan came out. Because, of course, Gabai Jishan is a very old man. And he is very slow. And, of course, he only had 1 minute to wrestle Manami Toyota. So Manami Toyota had to basically push him into the ring, and she was doing it at the 19 count, and Gabai Jishan was just poking her with his walking stick. That's it. That was it.
Well,
that was great.
We all look for different things in wrestling. just trigger. I also loved the ending part with Fujimoto.
Oh, yes.
My legitimate favorite part of the show. Because it was like, you had all of this, pretty much, it would be, there's no reason to go through it all. You really just have to watch it yourself, because there's no other match that will be like this throughout the year. And just too much craziness happened in the match. But the ending with Fujimoto, it was like, you got to all of these crazy one-minute matches to finally have a real match. And I thought the real match was really good. Maybe I'm just biased because of Toyota, but I really liked the match they had.
It really was good. It was a good match. Yeah. You know, I was looking into all of these women's faces when they came out for their match with Toyota. They were all so filled with joy.
Yeah.
And especially Fujimoto, who came out for the final, for the main event of that show. She was so happy. You could see it in her face that she got this spot, that Toyota picked her to yep. take the Japanese Ocean Cyclone suplex and use it, as Toyota is retired now. So just overall, just a wonderful experience, as I already said. Just you have to watch this show, because you will get an impression of not only Yoshi wrestling, not only current Yoshi wrestling, but also what Imanami Toyota did in recent years in the independent scene, and also you get some of the greatest rivals and tag team partners she had.
Yeah, it's true, and it was also great seeing Yoshida, too. She made an appearance, who also retired recently.
So that
was awesome. Just to see her one more time in this kind of silly one-minute match. Like you said, it's just like a snapshot of Toyota's career in a lot of ways. And that's what these matches are for. That's why they are done in Joshi like that. And like you said, a future storyline that will continue for Toyota is that Fujimoto did win with the Japanese Ocean Cyclone Suplex. And I thought it was great, too, that she used the first two matches, Toyota used the Japanese Ocean Cyclone Suplex, but then she also won the second with the Japanese Ocean Queen Bee Bomb.
Yeah, yeah, and the overall storyline of those three matches was that Fujimoto, in the first two matches, was always trying to go for the Ocean Cyclone Suplex, but she never managed to get Toyota up, and that led to her losing twice.
Yeah, yeah, totally. So there was this really was the feel-good show of the year in a lot of ways.
Yes.
And I really loved watching it.
I did too. And I also, because it aired on the same day in Japan, I also watched the Oz Academy show from 1 week prior to Manami Toyota's retirement show. Mm-hmm. From Yokohama, where they drew almost 4,000 people, which is unheard of in modern Yoshi wrestling.
Oh, wow.
And really unheard of. Well, I think Stardom once drew more in Sumo Hall a couple of years ago. I think they did.
Mm-hmm.
But still, drawing 4,000 people in Yoshi wrestling is impressive.
In any company.
Yeah, yeah, it is. It is much more than WrestleOne, Big Japan, All Japan do in Yokohama. It's almost more than they do combined, to be honest.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, so this show, the Oz Academy show, Dylan, I don't know how you felt about this show. We had on this show a match between Aja Kong and Manami Toyota.
Mm-hmm.
And this,
what'd you think?
This match made it perfectly clear why Manami Toyota retired, because she's just not able to do very much anymore. She tried to go up to the top, she fell down, went up again, and did hit her dropkick to the outside. Still in 2017, this is just incredible. So the match itself was what you would expect from those two in 2017, but the gesture in the end of Aja Kong offering her hand to Manami Toyota crying, that was just special. And I think that was what most people came for at the show.
Yeah, totally. And I think this was kind of their attempt to have one last epic match.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't really work. There's no shame in that, really. These two are way past their prime. So there's no shame in like not being as great as you were 20 years ago, 25 years ago at this point almost. But like you said, the ultimate part was the respect at the end of the match and how great everything that about that was, and just her whole lead up to her retirement. So I enjoyed it on that end, but yeah, I completely agree with you on that one, because I watched the show as well and I saw that match as well, and you hit it right on the head.
What stood out to me on this show was that I had seen Rina Yamashita wrestle before, mm-hmm. but watching her on this show, Dylan, I'm a fan now.
Oh,
Yamashita is great.
Yeah, she is really great.
She is. I think she's with Osaka Women's Pro Wrestling, but she's also working for Wave. I think for Wave,
yes.
and Oz Academy mostly. And they had she and Hikaru Shida had a pretty fun match, which was basically based around Yamashita paying tribute to Dynamite Kansai, who was on commentary mm-hmm. in this match. And, she beat Hikaru Shida in the end, and I really hope that Yamashita becomes a star in Yoshi Wrestling, because she has all the tools.
Yes, the storyline of that match was that if she, much like Fujimoto and Toyota, a kind of a similar thing here, where if she used the Splash Mountain to win, she would get the move from Dynamite Kansai.
Yeah, yeah. Sadly, Kansai couldn't wrestle here on that show. So that would have been a great story with Yamashita as well, getting the move directly from her, but it worked out pretty fine here.
Yeah. No big deal. It still worked out. Shida's a great opponent for her in these kind of matches.
Mm-hmm.
So I had no problem with that at all. Yamashita, like you said, she's wrestling a lot in Wave right now. And I actually, she's one of the more talked about people that I see in Wave. So I'm really looking forward. I kind of want to get the Wave Network now that I hear they're putting more effort into it, finally.
Imagine putting stuff up on your streaming service. Imagine.
I know, it's crazy how that works. Listen, Stringer, I buy stuff where they don't even put stuff on their streaming service. So I definitely want one where they do. Yeah, so I'm really looking forward to her match. She had a match with Yoshiko, which is highly recommended to me. And I really want to see what she does in Wave. And on the Oz Academy show, like you said, her and Shida's one of my favorites going in Joshi, so I was really happy for that. It was definitely a good match worth checking out in the Oz Academy.
yes. So Rina Yamashita, really a up-and-coming wrestler. She's only been wrestling for 4 years now, really coming into her own. She has a unique look, really like her look, and so I hope she gets more recognition. Mm-hmm. And that is something that I hoped for Kaho Kobayashi as well.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
And what did they do, Dylan?
On this OZ Academy show?
Yeah.
Hold on, let me get my notes.
So last time we talked about Oz Academy, she and Akino, did they win the tag? No, they defended the tag title at the last show we talked about.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay, yes. I remember this match now. Oh, yeah. Okay, I see. I see where you're going with this now.
Or did they win? I think... I'm not sure.
Definitely,
last time we talked about Oz Academy, we talked about Kao Kobayashi and Akino being the tag team champions, and I said that it's really good that they are highlighting Kao Kobayashi with the bigger stars here, and so now you know where I'm going. So Dylan, what did they do here?
They had a Mayumi Ozaki match for the tag team championship. Now this match was even crazy by Ozaki standards, I feel like. And if you don't know, an Oz Academy, all of her matches are kind of crazy.
Go to the Wrestling Omakase episode where Alexandra at Noah Xavier was on. They explain Oz Academy.
Yes. she did a great job. I'm a huge fan of Alexandra, even though she has not saved Noah. She's not done a good job of that. besides that, though, what was this guy from Pancrase doing running in this match to help Ozaki at the end? Did you see that, Stringer? Did I imagine that? Because I'm not sure if it's real. Tsunabe ran in, the MMA fighter.
Yeah. The guy who lost to Minoru Tanaka which the match was clipped down to 3 minutes. So, I don't know.
Yeah, he ran in to help Ozaki win the title. Yuki got the win with her whirlwind move on Akino. So I guess Kobayashi didn't take the fall.
Yes. You know, they kind of established Maya as a star on this show. I'm not sure. I wouldn't go so far, but at the same time, they took away the tag team title from Kao Kobayashi, and they had her right there. Kao Kobayashi is... They didn't do anything. Yeah.
I know you didn't like that. I will say that it was... I guess for Maya, and she's really good in Ice Ribbon, her home promotion.
Yes.
But Ozaki-gun's whole gimmick is that everyone comes from other promotions, and now they're suddenly bad guys in Ozaki-gun. And obviously in Ice Ribbon, she's like a straight-up babyface. And she did get put over here because she actually won the Ice Ribbon titles on the same day with Risa Sera. Mm-hmm. In a much better match than this, by the way, because I saw that show. They faced the lovely butchers of Hamako Hoshi and Mochi Miyagi. I would really recommend that tag match for a spot fest type match. They did really good. That was much better than this OZ Academy tag match because Kaho Kobayashi is a really talented up-and-comer, but like we both mentioned, she'll be going to Mexico, actually, soon, so... Hopefully they treat her better there when she is in a lot of random six-man tag matches.
Yeah. So this show was ended by a match between Yoshiko and the then Oz Academy Openweight Champion Hiroyo Matsumoto. The match went 27 minutes.
Wow.
And to me, Dylan, I'm a big fan of Hiroyo Matsumoto, as are you. That's a pretty well known fact here among the Eastern Lariat listeners, I think. Mm-hmm. And I think people know that I'm not a big fan of Yoshiko, but I gave her a shot here, watched the match, and I gotta say I didn't see anything that will make me watch a Yoshiko match again.
Wow, I thought this was a good match. I thought Yoshiko had a lot of great fire in her, and Matsumoto as well.
Yeah, I don't know. I never really got drawn into the match. I couldn't. I don't know what it was. I can't really point my finger on it onto it because the wrestling itself wasn't bad, but there was nothing that I could really grab onto. Nothing that told me this is the direction that they are going into right now. I'm not sure.
I thought it was a great match for Hiroyo because she's usually wrestling smaller people.
Yeah.
That she, you know, she's getting somewhat different to wrestle, like a monster like Yoshiko. And I thought they had a really great deal where Matsumoto just couldn't take away this Godzilla. You know, she went all in on her moveset. She kept going deeper and deeper into the move she uses. And Yoshiko came back with a lot of strong offense of her own. And I thought that the selling for both women was great. I thought Matsumoto really put over Yoshiko well and worked well, much better with her, actually, as a kind of underdog, you know, working from under. And I thought it was a really good match. I will say I thought it went a little long.
Yeah.
But I thought they did a good job. I thought it was a really good match. And I can't wait to see Yoshiko take on Tsubasa next month. I think they're going to have a really good match.
That could be a good match. Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy. let us know if the listeners, if you watch the match, let us know what you think. Because I think it's a really good match. Even non-Joshi fans, I think, too, this is a really good match to wrestle. Because it wasn't traditional high-speed Joshi style that everyone stereotypes Joshi with for some reason. And I hope everybody checks it out because it was a really good match.
Well, that is true. That is true. Yeah. So, overall, I thought the show was decent. It was very, very good to see a Yoshi company draw so many fans here in Yokohama. And you know, Dylan, what I noticed about this show was that they made this building, Yokohama Bunka Gymnasium, look much, much better than even New Japan makes it look. They had a unique entrance set, which was kind of based as a ship motif, and they even had this stage where they had the wood wooden stage, which was kind of like on a ship. So that was cool. That was cool too.
The name of the show was The Undersea Unexplored Expedition.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's great that they actually took their theme and went with it, because like you said, it seems like all the time in every other company, they just have the same setup no matter what. And it really brings me back to, you know, WCW back
yes,
when they used to
have yes.
pay-per-view, like Halloween Havoc and all that bullcrap. But I think it really adds something, and companies don't do enough of that these days, in my opinion. So I was happy to see the...
For example, Pro Wrestling Noah with their Great Voyage and their navigation shows.
that's true. There's a lot of sea themes in Noah. Noah's Ark, you know, strings.
Yeah, I know.
They don't mean that literally. It's just for a theme. But I totally agree with you. I really love the theme of it. The show I thought was not very good until the main event, to be honest with you. I like the Shida and Yamashita match for what it was, but the rest of it could safely be skipped. I thought the Ice Ribbon show from the same day was a lot better.
Funny, because I liked everything else but the main event much better. But well, that's my takeaway.
You like that point on a contract better than the main event?
No, I didn't like the match. But I liked the idea of them having a match.
And you like the tag title match better than the main event. So you really didn't like the show that much either.
I liked Rina Yamashita and Hikaru Shida. I liked the opening match. It was fun.
I liked the opening match too.
I liked Alex Lee and Yumi Oka here. It was good too. So yeah.
Well. Great match on that one. Really loved that match as well. But besides those two matches and the main event, those are the matches I back from the show.
But you mentioned the Ice Ribbon show. I think you wanted to talk about Ice Ribbon a bit.
Yeah, the main event was the tag titles for the vacant tag titles after Tsukushi and her team had to give it up with Kurumi. They had to give up their titles. So they had a little four-team tournament, and it came down to the Azuri Revolution with Yuki and Risa Sera taking on the Lovely Butchers, as I mentioned. Really good spot-fest type of match to main event the show. You don't want to think about it too much, but for a high-impact match, it was good for a Joshi type of match. I really loved the match with Toyota, who also wrestled twice on this day, Striga. She teamed with Arisa Nakajima to take on Tsukasa Fujimoto and Hanadate. And, I mean, Toyota kind of stayed out of this match for the most part. She didn't take on a lead role, but she did okay with what little she was asked to do. She was probably saving it for that Kong match, to be honest. But Nakajima is awesome. She had an amazing segment with Fujimoto. They're teasing a feud with the former best friend's partners. They're going to have a match in December, and like this, Nakajima looked great in that match. I highly recommend the match to see Nakajima's interactions with Fujimoto and Hanadate as well. Good match. There was a four-way match with Akane Fujita, Hiragi Kurumi, Maika Ozaki, and Noridate, which was kind of a... I thought it was going to be a comedy kind of match, knowing the participants, but they did a lot here. Another kind of big spots match, way different than I thought it would be. And Maika Ozaki ended up getting a huge win to challenge for the Ice Cross Infinity title for Risa Sera. I thought that was a great moment for her, as she struggled a bit this year. And there was also a good match in the other card with Kyuri Matsuya Uno versus Natsuma Maki and Tai Hanma. And as well, Julia made her debut in the opening match, teaming with Takako Inoue, my all-time Joshi crush, to take on Naodate and Satsuki Totoru. And that was a fun match too. A lot of times when you see these young girls in Ice Ribbon, these rookies, they always get the crowd behind them so well. So it was really fun show up and down. No real bad matches on it, I didn't think. Besides, no, there really weren't any bad matches on the show. I think it was a really solid show. No, maybe nothing super great, but the interaction between Nakajima and Fujimoto will make you want to see that match. I guarantee it.
Yeah, sounds great. And I think Stardom, you wanted to talk about Io Shirai and Yokobito too.
Yeah, that's true. I watched that show as well. It was from the same night, same day as Noah's show, the 11/19 show. It was headlined by Yoko Bito taking on Io Shirai. And Bito, the main event was definitely very worth watching due to the emotion of Yoko Bito. Because she, also as well, I really thought that she had a lot of great strikes in her match. she really brought the offense well, and you could see that she was so emotional even going into it. And I thought that she really brought a great performance versus Io. And Io winning the title, it's hard to understand a lot of their booking sometimes when you look at it, but I think it's clear that they're going to build towards Io finally climbing up the mountain after her injury to mm-hmm. take the red belt from Toni Storm. And this was an interesting kind of breakoff from that. If we didn't know what we know now, I would have thought Beto would have won. But Beto lost the match as she announced that she's retiring soon. She's going to get married. And that's a shame because it really felt like Beto was just coming into her own.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, so it'll be a big loss for her. And I just want to shout out Beto. She's been a good addition to the company, even as they've lost a lot of other people. She's stayed, and her comeback was really good to see. And she really started to grow into a really good wrestler by the end. It's a shame she's leaving. But, yeah, I think that's really all there is to say. A lot of the big things in Stardom right now is Oedo Tai and their feud as people like Kagetsu, Kimura, Natsu Sumire. She just joined, too, and they're doing a lot of Oedo Tai things. If you are be a fan of Oedo Tai, you will like a lot of what they're doing right now. And they had a match on the show. They defended with Hana and Kagetsu, taking on Bea Priestley and Kelly Klein. And I thought that was probably the best I've seen Klein and Bea look against Kagetsu and Hana. But still, really, the main match you want to see is Beto versus Io. And I think that's well worth going out of your way to watch if you can. And keep a lookout for Io to take on Toni Storm when she gets back in Japan, hopefully bringing the title back so we can see more red belt title defenses in Stardom coming up soon.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's it for this week. Or is there anything else, Dylan?
Nope, that's all. We got everything,
I think, this week. Yeah, I think we really covered all bases here, as I like to say here on the show. I think, that's about it for this week. Dylan, I really enjoyed being back here with you. I hope it doesn't take us as long to do another show again, but, you know, sometimes there's something that gets in the way in your private life or in your professional life that has to be taken care of, and the fun stuff. You know, I wasn't really in the mood to do a show when we originally planned to do it. So, yeah, but I'm glad we are back here on track, and I really enjoyed this, Dylan. And you know, if you enjoyed this too, you the listener, please tweet us. You can tweet me at Striga, Striga. You can also leave a rating for this show. Please do so. And please check out the other podcasts on the MLW Radio Network. They're really worth it. They've assembled a great, great group of podcasters here. And with that, I want to throw it to my co-host here, Dylan, to promote your social media.
Yeah, check me out on Twitter at DylanZeroSky. I absolutely love talking to all the listeners about anything. We just had a big conversation yesterday. We were talking about Go Shiozaki and how underrated he was. So thank you to all who participated talking to me about that. And please listen to my other show on MLW, since you mentioned all the shows are worth it. I hope mine is included.
Yes, I'm a listener.
I know, and I appreciate that. I appreciate all the listeners to Lucha Talk with my friend Alfredo Esparza, as well as Microman Fever, who is fighting vociferously for Microman to get his cage match profile. Strigger.
Yeah, I know.
And when that happens, he will be the first to praise you, I promise, Strigger. So everyone listen to that.
It will be un gran fiesta.
Yes, exactly. A very big party. And we did a show lately talking about a bunch of tournaments CML is running, about the Dynasty tournament they had this past week, and they're doing La Copa Junior again. Actually, this is the second time this year, in 6 months, in fact. They're running the same tournament.
Sure, why not?
except now it's VIP. So that means now that means big stars are in it now. So like Mephisto, and we're going to see a lot of people there. We talked about a lot of stuff there. We ran over AAA again, and I had to watch these shows. So please make my suffering worth something by listening to it and rating that as well. But other than that, yeah, just really talk to us on Twitter. I really love the interactions, and can't wait to be back on the show, Striga, as I too really enjoy doing the show with you.
Yeah, thanks, Dylan. And yeah, so this has been the Eastern Lariat for this week. Thank you for listening, and goodbye.
Sayonara.
This is the MLWRadio.com network.